We're going to continue on with our series through the book of John, and we are at chapter 10 now, week 19, and we have an amazing set of verses that we get to talk about today. It's where Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, and we're going to look at what that means. You know, in the first century, they would have known what that means, right? In Palestine at that point, they would have understood the language of a shepherd and the sheep and the gate and the sheep pen and the wolves and all that imagery. They would have understood it. When I was in high school, we moved out into the country, built a house out in an acreage, and we lived around farms. There was cattle, you know, just there's a fence, and then there were cattle and sheep and goats and different types of animals and agriculture and corn. I lived in Iowa, grew up in Iowa, and it was just out in the country, way out in the country in Iowa, where we built a house my senior year. So I drove about a 30-mile commute back to my high school. And I'll never forget one day driving down the lane of my neighbor's house, which they butted up right against us, and looking in his side yard, in his fenced-in area, and I couldn't figure out what I saw something strange out in the field, and what it was it was puffs of white with red all over it, and then they were everywhere, scattered throughout the field. And then there, I noticed some of the other sheep in his pen were hobbling along. And what it was a bunch of dead sheep in the middle of the field, scattered all over. They'd been mauled by a pack of dogs the night before. Dogs pack up like that. Some of them were house dogs that lived in the neighbors' homes. And when some of these wild dogs, loose dogs get together, they get frenzied. And all night, these dogs chase these sheep around, killed them. Maimed them. They didn't eat the meat. They just did it for fun. Wore them down until they died. Lots of them died or were maimed. And a lot of the dogs got put down. That the farmers found out, lifted up their dogs' lips and saw if they saw mutton or fur, they took them right out and shot them. They just put them down. So everybody lost. It was a horrible situation. But it was horrible because there was no good shepherd. There was not a shepherd that was watching the sheep to make sure that didn't happen. But today we're going to learn that Jesus is the good shepherd. That's how he describes himself. And we know that a good shepherd is one that loves us. Even last week we learned about how when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man, we saw that Jesus knows our deepest needs even more than we know it. The good shepherd cares for his sheep and knows them by name. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd protects his sheep, feeds his sheep, and is concerned and will never abandon his sheep. That's what a good shepherd is. Jesus is a good shepherd. And we have, you know, you can find different pictures of Jesus as the good shepherd. And I love this one, a stained glass. Jesus loves us individually as a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And that's what he calls himself. Now, here's the deal about calling Jesus our good shepherd. If Jesus is our shepherd, that makes us the sheep. Can I hear a baa from the sheep out there? Thank you. We are the sheep, like it or not. And I'm not sure if you know much about sheep. I'm not a sheep expert by any means, but I have looked into it. And people tell me that sheep are not really known for their high achievement. Okay, they're not like seals. They don't bounce balls on their noses. They don't jump through hoops that I know of. Maybe you have a sheep that does that. I've never seen one. They're not known for their exploits. They're not known for being highly intelligent. In fact, some people, not me, but some people even say they're stupid, that they are prone to wander and find themselves in danger. They've been known to walk off cliffs, just following one another off a cliff. They've been known to eat grass all the way down to the dirt, into the rocks, until their teeth are worn away because they just are going for the root. They don't know better. They're not the smartest creature on this planet. And they're defenseless. Let me show you. I got a picture of one. They're defenseless. Look at the terrible fangs coming out. Oh, that's his tongue. Wait a minute. Look at the claws. No, those are just little, you know, those won't defend anything. Somebody suggested that sheep are the best argument against evolution. Because you think of the battle of the fittest, the survival of the fittest. How does that thing, it's got no natural defense systems. It's not fast. It doesn't have anything to defend itself. How did that thing survive millions of years? That's a whole nother teaching. You can go online and learn about the creation series. God made this animal. But you know what this animal needs more than anything? Shepherd. Yes? needs a shepherd. A sheep needs a shepherd. We are God's sheep. And Jesus uses this language, this allegory of him being the good shepherd and us being the sheep to help us learn some things about the heart of God. In particular, and most of all, we learn that we have a shepherd who is willing to lay his life down for the sheep. That's what Jesus is going to talk about today. That's what we're going to discover. And at the end, I'm going to give a somewhat extended application. So I'll get through the teaching and give an application for us. Because here's the deal. Although we are sheep, we're special sheep. As Christians, you and I, we're not just regular sheep. No, we are sheep that have the Spirit of God. We have a shepherd that loves us and cares for us. And he is the God of the universe. He loves us and he's put us on mission. Again, with the Holy Spirit inside us, we're not just sheep, but we are actually super sheep, okay? This is you and me. We're super sheep, and I want you to see yourself that way because with my application, you're going to learn, and I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to challenge you to be on mission with your shepherd this week. Don't just be a sheep, be a super sheep the next week and for the month of November as we get hundreds of new visitors coming in this place. We need to work together as super sheep, right? That's what we're going to do. So I'm going to give you that application. So here's what we're going to look at. First, four qualities that describe Jesus as the good shepherd. And then we're going to give an application, how we can apply this, how we can join Jesus as super sheep in his mission. Okay? Can we bow our heads and pray one more time? God, we thank you for today. Thank you for calling us into your mission field. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit as believers. Thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd and you have a mission for us, a calling on our lives. And even this new building, we do thank you for this new building. Thank you for this facility, how it's going to give us opportunities to share the good news about you. And that's what we desire. We want to join you in your work of seeking and saving the lost. We want to be on mission as super sheep for you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you have a handout in your program. Feel free to pull that out. It'll help you follow along, fill in the blanks. Four qualities that describe Jesus as a good shepherd. Number one, first quality I want to talk about is that Jesus' sheep recognize his voice. And Jesus is going to talk about this. Jesus' sheep recognize his voice. And you're going to get this point. I'm going to help you get this point today. One thing I want to mention, one illustration that you parents can relate to, as parents, our kids, they honestly can recognize our voice. Even in a crowd, right? They can recognize our voices. There's something about being a parent that they can recognize our voices. I tested this, not on purpose, but I just recognized it a week ago. And then a week before that, I had to wake up two of my older boys for, I can't remember what it was, to get them up, make sure they were on task with chores on a Saturday morning or something. But I got four teenage boys, or one's 20 years old. But I had to wake them up. So teenage boys, right, can sleep through anything. I mean, it doesn't matter. Dogs barking, no. Phones ringing, no problem. You know, their alarm's going off, definitely no problem. Vacuum's outside. The truck is beeping, and, you know, the dump truck, beep, beep. Nothing wakes them up. So last week, I did this with Joseph. I needed to get him up, so I went into his room, and he's sleeping away, my 20-year-old. I just walked up to his bed, and I don't like to wake him up roughly, so I just, here's what I did. I said, Joseph. And he stirred a little bit, and I said, Joseph. Boom, his eyes woke right up. I did it the week before that with Stephen. Even in their sleep, my voice has an impact on them. They know my voice. You ever experience anything like that with your kids? It's true. Somehow, they recognize our voice. And we're going to see that if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you belong to Jesus, you're one of his super sheep, you will recognize his voice. He speaks, and you're, boom, I know that voice. I know that voice. That's what Jesus says. Let's get right into the text here. Verses 1 and 2, chapter 10. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. So let me just show you an actual sheep pen found in the Middle East. This is still used today. Typically, they're made out of rocks, 6 to 8 feet tall, so there's no way the sheep can get out. And what's important to notice is there's just one entryway, right? This is the imagery. This is what Jesus was speaking of when he's speaking to this crowd of first century Jews. They understood this. They interacted with sheep all the time. Sheep and shepherds, that was part of their life. So when he said that if you don't enter by the gate, you're a thief or a robber. They knew, they saw this. They knew what he was talking about. There's only one way to get in, Jesus is saying, in the sheep pen. Otherwise, they're protected by the shepherd. Verse 3, the watchman opens a gate for him, for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I love this imagery. Again, that Jesus is talking about us being sheep, him being the shepherd. We hear his voice. We recognize his voice, but he calls us out by name. That should give us real peace. That does for me. Because it's easy for me to comprehend that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. But it's harder for me to say, for God so loved Bill Young that he gave his only son. That's harder, isn't it? Because sometimes I don't feel like I deserve to be loved by God. I know I blow it. I know my life. And this idea that he calls his sheep by name, he knows your name. We sing songs that say that. He knows your name. That is so important and that is so intimate that the God of the universe literally knows your name. And it also says he knows the number of hairs on your head, which for some isn't too hard to count, but that's another story. He knows your name. Now, someone told me this, and I thought about this. If you were the only person on this planet, you were the only one, and Jesus came back at that point, you know what? He would have died on the cross for you. That's true. If this is true, if he knows us by name and he loves you individually, not just as some big group of human beings, he loves us individually, he would die for us because he died for my sins. Those are very personal, my sins. He died for me and he died for yours as well. He would lay his life down all over again for you. And I think that is a cool thought. We need to believe that. We need to believe that. So let's keep going here. Verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they, say it with me, know his voice. They know the shepherd's voice. This is so important for you. Verse 5. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So keep in mind the audience is the same group of people, the same Jews he was arguing with right after he healed the blind man that we studied last week. And they're saying, you can't do that. This is a Sabbath. You can't heal people on the Sabbath, and you're a demon anyway. And Jesus was having words with these religious leaders. It's the same group. And they don't even understand this imagery of the shepherd and the gate and the sheep and the robbers and the thieves that climb over. It says they don't understand what he was saying. But you and I understand it. How can that be? Because they weren't his sheep. They weren't his sheep. They couldn't understand what he was saying. They couldn't listen. They couldn't hear it, even though he told them plainly. And it is pretty plain, this imagery. And I'm going to give you an illustration that's going to help you. Actually, I'm going to show you a video that is fantastic on this issue. Somebody went to a farmer that had sheep and said, I want to do an experiment. He had some kids with him, and the kids were told what the farmer yells to his sheep. There's sheep out in this pasture, and the farmer says, this is what I yell to call them, my sheep. They know me. I use this. I say this. So they had three kids, one by one, step up and try to call the sheep, and watch what happens. And then the farmer at the end comes up, and he calls his sheep, and then you see what happens, okay? It's pretty powerful. Let's just watch this, and I'll be right back up.
One more time.
Oh, one.
Pika.
Boom.
Boom. Yeah.
Look at them. Look at them.
Boom. That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They're coming. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Eunice made him go away.
Oh my God.
Was that cool or what?
Oh my God.
You will never have the same again.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yes, Jesus said that his sheep know his voice and they will follow him. They will not follow a stranger. If you're one of Jesus' sheep, you will not be led astray by false teachers, false gospels. You will know your shepherd's voice, and you will follow him. And I just asked myself a couple questions as I was preparing this. I was thinking, what would you guys be thinking? Because the question is, how do I know if I'm a sheep? How do I know? Here's just a couple things I want to point out to you. If you're a sheep, if you're one of Jesus, if he owns you, if you're a Christ follower, a true Christ follower, then you will recognize Jesus' voice, just like we saw in the video. The sheep didn't recognize, didn't respond to, didn't care about the false voice. They only listened to and heard and understood the true shepherd's voice, right? So if you're a believer, you will call on the name of Jesus. You will claim the name of Jesus. You won't be ashamed of the name of Jesus, and you will follow the Jesus of the Bible. That's the voice you'll follow. Number two, if you are a true sheep, a super sheep, then you will also follow Jesus. In fact, it says in Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you will obey me, what I command. So if you're a true sheep, you'll do what your shepherd says. Isn't that what, that's what I learned from that. I thought the shepherd called them, and what'd they do? They responded. They came. Do you respond when Jesus convicts you or calls you or tells you to do something? Has your life changed at all as a Christian because of the words of Jesus? Or you just live your life like you always have? Then how can, you know, if those sheep just stood there staring at the shepherd and then kept eating, but if they didn't come running, I'd go, well, they're not your sheep either. How do we know that they belong to him? Because they came. They obeyed. They did something. You know, when my kids were little, and still today, my wife and I will reevaluate. We'll talk about our kids and how they're doing and plan for them and scheme for them. And the question we often ask is, do we have this boy's heart? Do we have his heart? And the answer is always the same. Well, is he doing what we tell him to do? Is he obeying us? When we say it's time to do your chores or clean your room or whatever we tell them, do they do it? If they do it, then I know I have their hearts. If you're a sheep of Jesus and he commands you to do something or tells you to stop doing something, and you don't do it, then, you know, if that's consistent, you got to question whether you really belong to him, because his true sheep will follow him. They hear his voice and they follow. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we might not lag behind like some of those other sheep. But they come. They come when Jesus calls. So those two things, we recognize his voice and we'll follow him. So the first quality we see as Jesus, as the good shepherd, is that his sheep recognize his voice. Number two, we see this. Second quality, Jesus provides the only way to heaven. In essence, Jesus provides pasture for his sheep. John 10, 7 through 8 says this. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. There he says it again. If you didn't come through the gate, if you're climbing over to get to the sheep, whatever someone's motives are, even if they're bringing good things to feed the sheep or try to, Jesus says they're thieves and robbers if they don't come through the right door. Only the shepherd comes through the door. Thieves and robbers climb over. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. The sheep didn't listen. So if you're a person that just bounces from church to church to church to theology to theology, and you just kind of encompass it all, and all roads lead to one, and all is good as long as we're doing good, then you know what? You don't hear Jesus' voice. Because his voice is a clarion call to follow him. To follow him. That's what he calls us to as his sheep. We don't listen to the other voices. Jesus is the only voice we listen to. Verse 9. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is saying, listen, this is another one of those allegories, those illustrations that Jesus uses. He said in the past, as we study the book of John, that I'm the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the living water. Now he uses another illustration. I am the gate. The gate for what? Whoever enters through me will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sins. That's the one problem we have that won't allow us into heaven. When I talk to people, I say this. You have one problem. You think you have lots of problems. You've got one problem that's going to keep you out of heaven. Only one. There's one thing that's going to keep everybody out of heaven, and that's their sin. This is what Jesus is talking about, being saved from your sin. And Jesus is the solution. He is the gate. He is the one that you have to go through. That's a pretty amazing statement. Jesus stands up and says, you got to go through me to get to heaven, to get your sins forgiven, to get saved. You got to come through me, says Jesus. And I want to give you this. I found this picture. I thought this was good. It's another sheep pen, but notice the shepherd as he guards the gate. Jesus says, I am the gate. You can only get into heaven through this gate, and I am the guard of the gate. You got to come through me, through Jesus. Boy, that seems kind of narrow, doesn't it? Well, it is. It's really narrow. What about all these other religions that are teaching different things, and they don't claim Jesus, and but they're doing good stuff, and they're, well, Jesus said, I'm the gate. Well, what about those other, well, Jesus said, I'm the gate. It's me. Well, they don't believe it. Well, I am the gate. There's no other way around it. If you climb in any other way or try to get in, you'll be thwarted by the shepherd and you're a thief or a robber. The only way to get saved is through Jesus. And I just want to tell you something, that there is no other religious leader of a legitimate world religion that claims that they are the only way to God. That it's through me personally. It's through this religious leader. Only Jesus does that. That makes Christianity very, very unique. No other religious leader says that I am the way. I am the way. Jesus said that in John chapter 14 verse 6. Jesus answered, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, a very narrow statement. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? Well, again, take it up with Jesus, because he's the one that said it. Jesus said it. He didn't say, oh, just as long as you're a good person and do the best you can and go to church, pay your tithe, you know, you'll probably make it to some level. He didn't say that at all. He said, you come through me. It's not your good works. It's not your church attendance. It's through me. I am the way, the only way. What about Buddha and Confucius and Muhammad and all these other? No. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the way. We don't have to be arrogant about that. We can even feel comfortable with it, but we need to agree with it. He's the shepherd. He's the gate. He's the light of the world. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. How many times does he have to say it in different ways? He is the way. And listen, if he didn't die and rise from the dead, then you might have an argument, but he did die and he did rise from the dead. We can believe him. He is the good shepherd. He is the way. He is the gate through which we must enter to be saved, according to Jesus. Again, there's many other religions that do good things. I'm not arguing that. Many good religious leaders that have good motives. I'm not questioning that. But what I'm saying is that they don't claim to be the way. Confucius claims to learning and enlightenment to get there, to get to another level. Muhammad never said, come through me. He said, go to the Quran. Again, Confucius said, don't go through me, learn. And here's a good quote from Buddha. Buddha said, do not follow me. Work out your own salvation diligently. This was on his deathbed. How would you like Jesus while he's hanging on the cross? Don't follow me. That's not what he said. He said, I am the way. Only through me. Only through me. Again, this sets apart Christianity, true Christianity, from all other world religions. Sets it apart to have a leader that says, it's just not about my teachings. You got to go through me. I'm the only way. And that's exactly what he says. To say that all religions lead to the same place is rather foolish. It truly is. It's like taking your cell phone and punching a number. Is this the President of the United States? Of course it's not the President of the United States. That's foolish. Well, don't all numbers lead to the president? No, only I have that number. If you want it, I'll give it to you later. But no, I don't have it. I don't know what it is, but certainly if you're just randomly hitting numbers to say all religions lead to God, no, they don't. Just a cursory study of world religions will show you that all religions are different. In fact, I love this quote by R.C. Sproul. He said this, "A thinking person will quickly see that they, all world religions, cannot possibly all be true in what they claim. They can all be wrong, but they can't possibly all be right. They're not the same. They're all different. And Jesus is the only world leader, religious leader, that says, it's through me. I am the gate. You got to come through me." And then he says this, a fairly famous verse, John 10:10. He says, and he starts out, I split the verse in two. He says this in the first part of verse 10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy." That's what the thief does, the devil. And we believe that we have an enemy. The enemy wants to take you out as a believer. He can't get you out of the sheep pen, but he can disrupt you within the sheep pen. He can lie to you. He can steal, he can destroy, and that's what he's doing all around the world. Just take a look at world news today. It's everywhere. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. The devil's having his way in a lot of ways. God's going to set it all straight. God's in control ultimately. We believe that. But he comes to steal and kill and destroy. You have an enemy. I had a sweet brother come up to me after the service last week and just say, "Hey, could you pray for me? I'm having a hard time. I feel like I'm under attack. I've got an enemy." And I said, "Absolutely." And I prayed for him. And I said, "By the way, how long has this been going on?" And he said, "Well, you know, I've sensed it more since I got saved about a year and a half ago." And I said, "Good. That's exactly what it should be. If you're a believer and you don't feel harassed and under attack from time to time, then you're probably not doing something right. You're doing something wrong. You have an enemy." At that point, as soon as you become a Christian, you have an enemy that wants to kill you, destroy you, take you out of the game. He can't keep you from going to heaven at that point, but he can take you out of the game, and he wants to. You say, "I thought the Christian life is all lovey-dovey and I wouldn't have any more problems." No, Jesus is the one that said, "In this world, you will have trouble." It's a promise. But Jesus is our shepherd. He'll protect us. He'll help us. But we have an enemy. That's what Jesus says, the devil. Second part of the verse says this, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So we have an enemy that wants to take us out, but we have a shepherd that says, "I came to give you life, abundant life." In another version, it says abundant life, have it to the full. That means a rich, satisfying, full life is what Jesus has in store for us as his super sheep. That's what he wants for us. Notice what it doesn't say, though. It doesn't say, "I've come to give you happiness." That's what we think of. That's not what he said. "In this world, you'll have trouble." Peter says, "Listen, don't be surprised by the painful trials you're suffering, but rejoice, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance." We're all tested. We all have trials. We do. That doesn't mean that you're out of God's will. In fact, it could be exactly what God has for you. Point is this, God promises an abundant, full life as we follow him. Even if there are tears, even if there are difficulties, we can trust our shepherd. Look to him, and he'll lead us out into good pastures. Eventually, we'll be in heaven, and there will be no more tears. But in this life, tears will flow. But we can have joy in the midst of it. That's the point. We can have joy in the midst of trials. We can rejoice through tears and have a full, satisfying life given to us by God. That's what Jesus is promising here. You have an enemy, but I'm going to give you my desires to give you a full life. That's a good shepherd, isn't it? Good shepherd cares about his sheep, and that's what Jesus is offering. So we see that the good shepherd, the sheep know his voice, also that the good shepherd provides a way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. Number three, we see that the good shepherd, a quality of the good shepherd, is he lays his life down for his sheep. He lays his life down for his sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. The wolves come, he'll fight for his sheep to the death. Pick it up in verse 11. Jesus continues, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He'll die for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep." So When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. So that's what happens when you don't have a shepherd, and it happens when you don't have a good shepherd, a shepherd that cares about you individually. Jesus says, I am willing to lay my life down. He knew he was going to die on the cross. He knew that was going to happen. In verse 13, it says, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Why did Jesus die for you on the cross? Because he loves you. And he cares for you and me. Not because he had to. He could have gotten off that cross. He didn't have to do it. He submitted to the Father and went through it because he loves the sheep. He loves you and me. And we got to get that. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. Jesus is willing and went through with dying for you and for your sins. He substituted himself on the cross for you and for me. That's how much he loves us. Whenever you wonder if God loves you, look at the cross. That's why we glory in the cross. Not because it's some horrible death instrument. No, we glory in the cross because we look at the cross and we see how much God was willing to pay for us. That's why we glory. Like Paul says, I glory in the cross. Verse 16. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I realize that if I still lived in Iowa or Colorado or any other state in this good union, I would not have to explain this verse, but I do need to explain this verse to you because we live in Utah, and I understand that, and I will. The problem is that it is self-explanatory. The commentaries just, you know, almost gloss over it because it's so self-evident what this verse is talking about in context of the whole Bible, in a context of the verses above it and below it, and knowing where Jesus is talking right now. He's talking in the temple grounds in the area for the Jews. The inner court is where he was talking. And when you also understand that sheep pen can also be translated courtyard. Jesus is talking in the courtyard of the Jews, and the next courtyard out was the courtyard of the Gentiles. So he's in the inner circle of Jews, and there's a big sign that says you must be circumcised to enter this area upon penalty of death. So only Jews could go in here. The outside courtyard was the courtyard of the Gentiles. Jesus is teaching this. He says to them, I have other sheep that are not of this courtyard. I must bring them in also. And did he point over to the Gentiles? I don't know, but that's who he was talking about. He's talking about Gentiles. That's what other sheep mean. Look at Isaiah and all the prophecies about God coming to the Gentiles, eventually a light to the Gentiles, a Messiah is coming to the Gentiles. Now, Jesus certainly was called to the Jews, the sheep, lost sheep of Israel. That was his ministry. He also ministered to Gentiles, but that was clearly his ministry. He made no bones about it. And people come up to him and say, would you do this for me, do that? He said, no, I've been called to the lost sheep of Israel first. That's what he would tell them. But after Pentecost, where did Peter and Paul go? To the Gentiles. Clearly, when he says, I have other sheep, he's talking about other non-Jews. He's speaking to a group of Jews saying, anybody that's a Gentile will eventually come into my sheep. We're going after them as well. That's what he's talking about. Nothing else, nothing about worlds, none of that. That is just somebody's thinking, making stuff up, because it doesn't give any indication whatsoever. It's talking about Gentiles. Again, read any of the commentaries, it honestly is just black and white. There's no question about it. There really isn't, guys. Biblically speaking, this is what it means. It means Jesus says, I have other sheep. He's saying the Gentiles will eventually come into the fold. Okay? All right, so three things. The sheep recognizes his voice. Number two, he provides a way to heaven, the gateway. And number three, he lays his life down for his sheep. Number four, fourth quality we see in our good shepherd is that he rose from the dead for his sheep. And this is so important. Verse 17. Jesus says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. What's he alluding to there? The crucifixion, he dies and then he resurrected, right? That's why we have Easter to celebrate that. He says, I lay my life down, but I also take it up. I'm going to raise from the dead is what he's saying. Then he says this, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. In fact, Jesus died for sins. We know that, don't we? Christian, we know that. In fact, most non-Christians know that. If I talk to a non-Christian and ask them what they know about Jesus, if I say, hey, do you know why Jesus came to this planet? Most people, Christians, non-Christians, know the answer if they think about it long enough. Jesus died for our what? Sins. Most people know that. What's interesting is most Christians don't know the second part. And he was raised for, and they don't know. As if it's not important. I mean, it's Jesus dying was important, but listen, there's a it's a two-pronged fork. If both don't happen, we're in trouble. Jesus died for sins, but he also rose from the grave, and that is pretty important. If he didn't rise from the dead, then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we are to be pitied among all men if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But he did. And there was a purpose in his raising. Do you know what it is, Christian? You got to know this. It's not just enough that he died. He was raised for our justification. That's the word. We see it throughout the New Testament, but you don't catch on to it. I found that's true. Romans 4:25. He was delivered over to death for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. And was raised to life for our justification. That is the legal sense of us having our sins blotted out. We are justified. I like to think of justified as just as if I'd never sinned. When I'm justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Legally, my sins are taken care of. Jesus dying didn't do that, but raising from the dead blotted out my sins. If he didn't raise from the dead, we are in trouble. Jesus says, I lay my life down and I raise it back up on my own accord. He not only died, but he was raised for our justification, just as if you'd never sinned. Without him rising from the dead, you and I would be lost today. We would be. But he did rise from the dead. And we know that's true. All right, conclusion. There's two more verses. I'm going to turn it into a conclusion. Because we need to listen to and obey our good shepherd. This whole message has been about Jesus preaching to a group of people and telling them over and over, you need to listen. My sheep, listen to me. If you're one of my sheep, you'll hear my voice. You'll listen to me. You'll hear it, just like the video. You'll listen to the shepherd. If you belong to me, you'll hear my voice. You'll listen to me, and you'll respond. Here's what they said to him. John 10:19-20. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? Is that just not the ultimate irony for this whole message that he gave? If you're my sheep, you'll listen to me. Let's not listen to him. If you really belong to me, you will listen to me. Let's not listen to him. I'm not going to listen to this guy. This is what they're saying. After he kept telling him, if you're in my pen, if you're going to heaven, then you will listen to me. I'm not going to listen to you. How ludicrous. But this is how blind they were, because they didn't belong to him. If you're his sheep, you will listen to him. You won't turn your back on Jesus. When things get hard, you don't shake your fist and have a pity party and walk away from God. You listen to your shepherd. We need to listen to his voice. And finally, in verse 21, they kind of throw Jesus a bone here. But others said, well, you know, these aren't the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. I mean, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? We saw him do that. It's like they're complimenting Jesus. Well, I don't know, but I don't think you're a demon. Thank you very much for that compliment. I'm not a demon. That's what you got from my message. I'm not a demon. These guys are so far lost. They don't even understand what he is saying. And the best compliment they give, well, I don't think he's a demon. This is the God of the universe. This is the shepherd. This is the way, the truth, and the life. And they can just say, I'm not sure. I don't think he's a demon. We should do better, men and women. We should do better. We should listen to and obey our good shepherd. We should hear his voice, claim his name. We should understand that he provides the only way to God. He's the only way, whether you like it or not, it's through him. You should understand that he lays his life down for you and he raises it up again. That's what a good shepherd does. Amen? And Jesus is our good shepherd. Now, what I want to finish with is just a quick application. And we need to learn this. And again, I'm talking to us as family. I just want to encourage us because we are not, again, just sheep. We are super sheep with the Spirit of God, and we're on mission with Jesus. Believe me, Jesus is going to be working hard this week, and I hope we are too. And here's your application to be a super sheep, to join Jesus in the job he's given us, to care for his sheep, to be under shepherds, in other words, to care for the people that are going to walk in here. Sheep that are wide-eyed going, this is the first time I've been in a Christian church. This is the first time I've ever experienced something like this. Men and women, let's not let it be the last. What a shame for people to walk in here for the first time, never to walk in again. Well, you know who that's going to be dependent on? You and me. That's going to be totally dependent on you and me. And if God is going to be faithful to bring people, which I think he will, we need to be good stewards of what he's bringing through that door. So I'm going to talk to you very frankly as a family. Again, if you're visiting with us, just kind of think about the coffee that you're going to drink in a little bit here. The rest of us, listen up, because I have some practical things. How can you join Jesus in what he's doing here at the Rock Church over the next week and month, really? Number one, invite new people. There are we have printed lots of cool materials right on the table outside the door. Don't fail to take a bundle and go around your neighborhood or around here or somewhere with your kids. It's fun. Have the kids run up and hook it on the door handle. Don't put it on the mailbox. Hook it on their door. Your neighbors, it doesn't take that long. Just do it in the afternoon or some evening and invite your neighbors and your friends. They will come. It's an open house. It's a grand opening. People will come if you invite them, but they have to hear about it. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. Hang door hangers, pass out cards. We have lots of stuff. If you need more, we can get it to you. We've got lots of stuff printed. We already passed out a bunch, and we got stuff going in the mail, and we have stuff in the Draper Journal. But you got to do your part. Invite your friends as super sheet. Number two, you got to love on new people as they come. And this is so important that we do this and understand. Just hear my heart here. The next week, and the week after that, when it comes to what happens in this building, is not about you. It is not about you getting the best seat and the best parking spot and settling in for a great message. It is not about you next week. It is not. It's about the new people that are going to come. Men and women, we have to get this. And if that's true and you're joining Jesus on a mission, then I would expect a few things from you. That when people come in, you greet them. That you don't form a holy huddle of rock people and talk about the game or talk about what you're going to do at small group or talk about, no, I expect you to be super sheep and do what I like to call three before me, three conversations with new people before you have a conversation with anyone you know. Just say hi to your friends and go, I got two more to go. I got to meet two more people. Shake their hand. Introduce yourself. Welcome them to the Rock. Ask them how they heard about the church. Hear their story. What church have you been going to? Another church? What's your story? People will talk. Don't be shy. Three before me. Say it with me. Three before me. It's a beautiful thing. If we all do that, then I think we'll be good stewards of the people that come through that door next week. That's number one. Number two, invite them to a small group or a lunch or just a conversation in the lobby. Just get their phone number or email or something. Invite them back to the series coming up, the Grace series, which will be the next week. Say, hey, Yada, it's good to meet you. Hey, by the way, I would love to see you come back. Maybe give The Rock 4 weeks on the series coming up. Just give them 4 weeks. Come back. I'd love to see you. Come find me if you come back. I'd love to have you. So do that. You guys tracking with me here? Don't be thinking your neighbor's going to do this because he's not. You're going to have to do it. You and me, we got to do this. It breaks my heart to think I'd have to stand before God and God says, I brought people in, Bill, and nobody greeted them, and they left. I brought them through your door, and they never got greeted. That just breaks my heart. Let's not let that happen, men and women. Let's not. So here's a couple other things, practical application for you and for me. If you're serving next week or in the month of November, if you're serving in the child care, in our children's ministry, if you're serving at coffee, if you're serving at greeting or hospitality or sound, or if you're in the band, if you're serving anywhere in our church, do not come on time. Do not come on time. You come early in the month of November. In November, on time is late. It really is. Man, I do not want you fiddling with your papers, trying to get your lesson together while families are coming in going, I've never been to a Christian. How do I do this? I want you greeting them. I want you smiling. I want you ready when they come, because they're going to come. I'm telling you, they're going to come. Are you going to be ready? I'm going to be here early. Come, or don't be on time. Be early. Yes? Okay. Another thing. If you are part of this church, don't park in this parking lot next week. don't do it. I want all the spots available for new people. But I've been waiting so long to park in the parking lot. It's our new building. And you'll have your whole life to park in the parking lot. I'm talking about next weekend when we have hundreds and hundreds of new visitors. This auditorium is not big enough. And you say, why didn't you build it bigger? Because it's phase one. This is the youth group. We're squeezing in. On that side, we're going to have a 650-seat auditorium. That's coming. Right now, we have to squeeze in, park at tracks. It takes 3.5 minutes. I've prayer walked this many times and timed it. 3.5 minutes. Or park at Harmon's. Guys, drop your families off at the front. That's fine. But take your car out to tracks and walk back. Yes? Guys, I'm telling you, if you park in the parking lot, I'm not going to scream at you. I'm not going to be mad. But I don't want our guests driving in and not being able to find a parking spot next weekend and driving out and never coming back. We can't have that. Is it worth 3.5 minutes to walk to hopefully have influence on somebody's soul? Is it? Yes, it is. Next weekend, guys, I don't care. If we don't get any visitors and the parking lot's empty and you're here, I'd smile. I would say, God bless you for being a super sheep and parking somewhere else next weekend. But I guarantee you, we're going to have guests, and they're going to come hungry, and they're going to want to hear what we have to say, and they're going to hear it, okay? Park at tracks. Here's something else Super Sheep might need to do. Instead of coming early and picking out the best seat and putting your coats all across there, you might be looking for new people that don't know what doing and say, you know, there's some seats up front here. Why don't I help you come? I'll help you find a seat. And if there's people, which there will be, they'll be standing room only. Maybe you might be willing as a super sheep to say, you know what, hey, why don't you come sit down here? I'm going to stand up for a half hour for the kingdom. I don't know, we're talking about maybe getting some overflow with video. I don't know if we can do that. But a super sheep might be willing. I don't want you all standing in the hallway just hovering, waiting to see if there's going to be a seat, you know, that you can go sit. But, and you can sit in, I'm not saying you can't sit in a chair. We're going to pack chairs in. But man, if I see visitors, if I'm standing up here and I go, you know, how many of you standing back there are visitors and you know, 30 people raise their hand, I would love to see a few super sheep go right here. My family will stand. You come right here and do it with a smile. I would like to see that. Amen? This is not about you next week. It isn't, and that's okay. You get 51 weeks, okay? Next week is not your week. Okay, here's the other thing. Last thing you can do practically is if you have kids 0 to 6th grade, do not leave today without checking in your kids. Josh Whitney, his whole family have hung around the whole morning and they will help you check in because it takes a couple minutes, just 2 or 3 minutes the first time, 20 seconds after that. Once you're checked in, you put your number in and it's fast, fast, fast. Today it's a little longer. I don't want you checking in when our guests are trying to check in next week because they all have to check their kids in. I don't want to glut it up because you forgot to go check your kids. Go right after the service and wait in line and put your family information so you're ready to go, okay? These are all just practical super sheep things. Don't leave today if you have kids 0 to 6th grade in our programs without signing your family in, and you'll all be set. So next week you come, you just put your number in and you got your stickers, put them on your kids, they're ready to go, okay? All right, with that, one last thought. We love our building. The building is beautiful. I love the smell of fresh carpet. Do you like the chairs? They're better than our old chairs, wouldn't you say? They're kind of comfy. Paint, fumes are in the air. Everything's new. It's shiny. It's so good. People are saying to me, oh, there's a scuff on the wall. And, oh, can we bring coffee in? And can we eat in the sanctuary? And is it okay to carry coffee? And people are asking me these things. And I appreciate that. But let me just answer. By the way, we have new coffee mugs. If you're interested, you can get those. They're kind of cool. I asked for these personally because I've always wanted one. Can we bring coffee into the sanctuary? Can I just answer that for you right now? Can I answer it for you? Listen to me. Listen carefully, especially those of you that gasped. We use this building. We do not worship it. Rock Church, we use this building. We do not worship it. We can clean carpets. We can pull up carpet squares. We can fix dented walls. We can touch up paint. By the way, this building eventually will burn. Did you know that? God says everything will be destroyed by fire, including this building. Someday this will be a heap of ashes. But what happens in this building could last forever as lives change, as lives change. Here's the point I want to leave with you. People are more important than buildings. And please don't email me and say, oh, horrible, you're not a good steward. That's not true. I've spent more hours cleaning this building than you probably ever will in the last couple weeks. I've scrubbed your bathroom stalls. I've cleaned your toilets, personally. I'm a good steward. I actually put down, Troy will confirm, there's an extra carpet square right there full of coffee that I will throw away. But we can pull carpet squares out and put another one down. We have hundreds of extra ones. That's okay. Don't worry if you spill. Now, by the way, I didn't do this with kids in the room on purpose because I'm not encouraging this. That is, don't email me. That's not what my point is. This building is going to go away, but lost souls are not. People are what matter. We're going to use this building. We're going to play dodgeball in here. I know Brent doesn't want to hear me say that, but somehow we'll protect the projectors because they're really expensive. I know that. We're going to use this facility to do business for God. We have an enemy that's going to try to fight us, but we have Jesus as the good shepherd who's on our side, and we're going to see lots of things happen. Let's use this building for God's glory. Amen? All right, Super Sheep, let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you want to see lives change. Thanks for the opportunities we'll have next weekend and the whole month of November and the whole time we're in this building. By your will, by your grace, by your mercy, we'll have opportunities. Pray that you would transition us into a group of super sheep that are thinking about lost souls and thinking about opportunities and thinking about other people rather than just ourselves. God, would you help us? Would you help us win people to you? You're going to bring people. Help us be faithful. Help us be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You did just what I wanted you to do. That's our desire. And we thank you, God, for being a good shepherd who knows your sheep. Thank you that you know us and we know your voice. Thank you that you provided a way for heaven and you lay down your life for your sheep. Thank you that you rose from the dead. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll see you next week. All right, God bless you guys.